For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Hello, hello, everybody. It is the Briscoe and Big A Show, probably number 105, I'm going to say. We've been at it for a while. We're getting back together this week for a brand new episode, one that we're very, very, very excited about. It's been a minute since we've had a guest on the show, Wes.
Yeah, it's been a while, man.
Would you like to introduce our guest, and then I'll bring him on?
Well,
or do you want me to do it?
Yeah, probably you should, and then I'll come in after that.
All right, perfect. Well, we got a good friend of Wes, someone we've been talking about getting on the show for a good while. You've seen him on, man, tons of places. WWE, their version of ECW, SmackDown, Raw, TNA with you, and Aces and Eights, the Menagerie, all sorts of other great places. And again, friend of Mr. Wes Briscoe here, so I'm excited to get some stories tonight. Mike Knox, welcome to the Briscoe and Big A Show.
Oh, baby.
Not only all that, he was my road dog. Like, pretty much every TV tape, and it was me and Mike Knox riding together. That was how we rolled to TV. And, man, I had nothing but the best person to ride with.
Okay, so let's start it off with this way. You guys obviously were in Aces and Eights together in TNA, which – probably the best heel faction to ever be in TNA Impact. But did your guys' roads ever?
Oh, hey, and not only to mention that, he kayfabe me about it. That was like, because I called him from Puerto Rico and I was like, hey, man, they like call me about something and da da da. And he was like, yeah, I kind of heard something about that. And he just literally got done beating up Sting. And I'm like, this dude didn't even tell me. He was like, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. And I was like, well, they said you were going to be in it. And he was like, I don't know. I was like, this kayfabe.
Baby, I don't know, bro. You know me, I get confused sometimes.
Right. I was in Puerto Rico, bro. Who the hell am I going to tell?
Bro, I thought the first time that we even talked about it, we were like at an indie show or something.
Maybe.
Wasn't Sean there too? Wasn't like Sean Waltman there with us too for some reason?
I think so.
Oh, and I remember talking about it at the bar, and we were like laughing. And we had all these great big ideas. And then like it was, nothing happened for like 4 months.
I know. And oh, that was a crazy 4 months because at the time I was living in Puerto Rico. So I was like, man, it was just like, when you wrestle for Carlos, it's fun, it's awesome, but when you're there for a little over a year, you start itching for you know, just for something else, you know, little bit bigger of a platform.
I could only imagine, bro. I was only there for like a month. Yeah. You know, I was like, okay, I need to get back for a while.
Yeah, it can be a wild one over there. But yeah, it was crazy, and then all of a sudden I got the call, and then I end up showing up to TV, and then I look over and I see him at TV, and they're like, you guys have to hide. I'm like, hide? I want to go say hi to everyone. They're like, no, we have a trailer for you guys. You guys have to go somewhere complete. I'm like, well, I know some of these guys. They're like, we don't care.
Well, we could request his truck for a while. Then what are we going to do?
I know. That was crazy, though. How crazy was us having our own locker room?
Bro, we were the last people in the world they should have gave a private space to.
Yeah, we had a huge locker room, too.
Bro, it was hilarious. We just sat out there all day. If we got thirsty, we like, ring the little bell. Ding, and like, somebody would run us some drinks. So, like, it was so dumb.
So, but prior to that, though, when did you guys first, like, meet? When did the roads first cross for you two?
Maybe when I was in FCW and they probably brought me to like a TV taping or something.
I remember I snuck down a few times to FCW just to fart around with the guys, you know what I mean? And then I can't remember who, somebody dropped me on my head. And I was like,
it was probably, what was the guy that used to carry the magic stick and it was like a, oh, he was from, like, Brazil or somewhere, or Peru. Oh, my God. You would know his name if I mentioned
Peru?
I don't
know. Are you talking about Great Papa Shango?
No.
From parts unknown?
No. I'm talking about FCW days. I remember his name, I don't know. But
about those days.
You know, it could have been old Ricky Ortiz rallying it up.
Man, you want to talk about Ricky Ortiz rallying it up, bro? I don't keep much. But look what brother still got, dude.
No way.
I got the rally towel, baby. Rally it up.
Big shout out to him, man. Dude, I haven't talked to – I talked to him probably about 5 years ago, and that was the last time I talked to him.
Brother, I think – I probably haven't – I haven't talked to him since he got released.
Yeah, he married a ex-WWE girl. I don't know which one, though.
Well, there are so many, you know. He was a good cat, bro. I thought he was going to go further. You know what I mean? If they would kind of let him run with what he wanted to do instead of, like, sticking him with that thing, you never know, man. Wrestling is a kooky game, bro. Kooky game.
Dude, and he had a hell of a promo, too. So
hell of a look. He didn't look – nobody else looked like him.
Yeah. But – so back to TNA. Man, I'm just, like, sitting back and trying to, like, remember some of the moments. There was – I know I'm just, like, jumping around a lot because I'll probably jump around a lot.
That's trying to keep me on the right road.
Yeah. There was this one time where – me, Knox, and Drew almost got into a fight over who was going to take a hit from Hogan. You remember that one?
Well, he's my hero, baby.
You know? All of our heroes, we're all like, no, we're going to take it. Like, all of us like raised our hand and looked at us and we're like, well, what do you expect?
Walk right through every one of us, brother.
Yeah. I literally think we all took a bump from him, and he was only like he was not allowed to like. They only told him bump one person, and we all like fed in, and he was just. Yeah, right. Like,
that's a lot. That's a long outway, brother. I'm gonna go meet you way down there.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah,
he gets him back, and he's just like, "What was that? It was supposed to be one."
No, he wanted like, dude. He was the guy that like in the moment he loves it. Like,
oh,
and plus, like if you feed properly. All he has to do is just pick up his hand. He don't have to do nothing.
Right.
Yep. Brother, you know what? I remember, I can't remember if it was one of the cage match nights. And we were practicing something or we were walking over something. And we were trying to get in that bitch. And remember Drew, like, jumped off of the apron onto the floor and, like, broke his heel or something?
Yeah.
He couldn't walk for, like, rest of the night. And, like, during the match, he had to limp out there and, like, find some crazy way to get in the cage. They cut the holes in the cage.
That was the craziest thing, where they cut the holes in the cage for him to climb up.
Bro, I was supposed to hit those holes, too, because my feet were too big. I couldn't get them in the cage, right? So I run to where it's supposed to be, and, like, it looks like every single Aces and Eights, like, D-Lo's are going up the same thing. Like, everybody's going up there. So I try to go the regular way like a man. It's like, my intensity, it's going to take me up this thing, man. I didn't get 3 feet off the floor. I had to jump down and run back over to where the holes were at like a moron and get up there.
It's crazy the stuff at TV.
Jeez, man.
That match was
let's get away with a lot of stuff, man. Like, think about like those promos that we were doing in the clubhouse. Like, we were like shocking Abyss. Like, we had
You want to know a funny thing, Big Ace? So at first they were giving us cold beers.
I love to
shoot these pre-tapes. So everyone was like, all right.
I can already see where this is going.
Yeah, so then we're fitting the character, you know. Hey, we're doing what the boss would tell us. Hey, if they bring us a 12-pack that's cold, what do you think we're going to do? We're going to drink it. So I think we went through a couple pre-takes and a couple of, like, cases, and then all of a sudden they were like, wait a second. These guys are going through beer like there is no other. And we're like, we're just doing pre-tapes, brother. Like, what do you expect? So then they're like, oh, we'll get them. They started giving us warm beer.
Mm-hmm.
But Knox was like, nope, I'll still drink it.
Maybe. Warm beer ain't never hurt nobody.
Free beer is free beer.
What was your thought when they switched that up on us?
I just kind of laughed. I was like, well, I'm going to drink more now.
You're like, you know what?
Double down.
Bro, that was just the funnest time, bro. Sitting around with your friends, like drinking during the day, and then like going and whooping ass like on Heroes and like Sting and Hogan and Angle and shit. Bro, in what world?
I know. It was crazy.
And you guys had the best crowd reactions. I mean, bro, the crowd hated you guys.
It was split down the middle, though. People loved us, and then people hated us.
I remember watching some of those TV tapings and being like, dude, these guys aren't going to get out of there alive. Like, someone's going to throw a punch at them. And I'm sure it happened, but like.
Oh, dude, I got gum thrown in my hair. You remember when Bully tried to fight that one tall guy?
Yeah, bro, whatever. He had it coming.
Was this at TV?
Should have been standing there.
I don't know if it was TV or on pay-per-view, but it was the funniest thing in the world. This skinny, tall guy thought he was going to get in Bully's face, and Bully Ray was not having it. He pretty much called that guy every word underneath the sun, and I think it was bad. But
man,
it was good times.
That's what those hardcore fans live for, though, too. So
yeah, good times. Yeah. I wish they'd let us run a little bit more. You know what I mean? Like, with a little bit more steam, you know what I mean? It felt like the riders were starting to get tired of it, or they wanted to go another way, so they kind of had to put – like, remember they brought in, like, Rampage?
Yeah.
Like, Tito Ortiz, and then, like –
you remember when I got mad and I punched Rampage in the ankle?
Right, his ankle, bro. I was just like
– what?
I was like, bro, are you biting Rampage? What the hell are you doing down there?
I couldn't do Samoa Joe has me in the corner, does his kick, boom, I sit down, sell, he sells away, and for some reason Rampage thought he was going to get like happy-go-lucky and like go in there and like slap me in the face, like just through the ropes.
Right.
I was like, oh, hell no. And the only thing I could see is his ankle, so I hit him as hard as I could. And it's funny because you could see it on TV. He like grabs his ankle and he's like, ah, what the hell? And like I roll out and tag out, and I look at D'Lo and I go, I'm gonna whoop his ass when we get backstage. And he's like, please don't. Don't start no fight. I go, I don't care what he's done.
Oh, that is amazing.
Wes, you are one of a kind, baby.
This is true.
That was pretty funny. I remember you were trying to calm me down too. You were like,
baby,
you're like, don't worry about it. I was like, he slapped the shit out of me.
I was like, sure. He don't know no better.
then one night we're at the club and he's like, we're not at like a strip club, we're at like a night club or a bar.
Yeah,
he's throwing money in the air.
We're like in Vegas, right?
Yeah, we're like in Vegas at that time.
He was always like the coolest guy ever to us. Like,
oh, he was awesome.
Out there, out drinking one night, like we hadn't even like, we don't really invite him, we just kind of go and do our thing. We'll be out there until like 1 o'clock, and all of a sudden we see this motherfucker walking around. He's like, "Hey!" He comes in, he's all cool with everybody. Yeah, that was in Vegas, bro. That was weird. That was a weird, weird trip.
Yeah, like Chavo caught an extra, like picking up money off the ground, and Chavo yelled at him. It was a pretty funny experience.
Yep.
I forgot the name of that guy. You remember the big buff guy?
Damn, I know that he was in. I remember, like, he stole like a pizza or something, and everybody yelled at him. Like, he just couldn't.
Yeah, run, you know? and then he did something to me at that beach, at that pool party, and I was like,
he did something to you at the pool Chavo, party.
Like, was like,
what was the one? It was not Tough Enough, but it was like Gut Check, where the teenage guy brought in like guys that had like a, you know, some kind of a look or a chance or something like that.
You did that, didn't you, Wes?
Yeah, I won it.
Yep, yeah. Damn right you did.
I think I was the only one.
So he comes in, like, and he's all jacked up, you know what I mean? And, like, he did his thing, and, like, he thought it went really well, and, you know, I didn't watch it. But when he didn't get, when they said no to him, he was shoot hot, bro. You know what I mean? He was shoot hot. Like, he thought he got out there to be embarrassed, you know what I mean? Which,
right.
You know what I mean? If you kind of, if you stumble your way through that, like, a locker room full of veterans, and you just keep fucking up, you know what I mean? Like, right. They're gonna have you around, you know. It's kind of tough for him. So like he came back, and I can't remember who it was. It was like Aries or somebody was just hot, like on him. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that was the last we ever saw of that guy. I think on Facebook friends still like just got like does like bench press stuff, like throw through him picking a poop. You know what I mean?
Oh, lordy, man, we had some good times, man. DNA was. I think TNA was really fun at the time we were there, huh?
I think so, bro. That was the funnest part of my career, man, so far. You know what I mean? It's the funnest part so far. I got to, like I said, I got to be with my best friends in a business. I got to wrestle, like, heroes of mine that I grew up with posters on my wall. You know what I mean? Like, it was completely surreal, man. And I wouldn't have traded that for nothing, man. Even all, like, the shitty pay and, like, all that bull crap, like, with the contracts and all that, the political stuff, I would have traded one, and that was so fun. I was so happy to be in there with you, bro.
Yeah, it was a good time, man. It was crazy because we got to experience a lot. Not only did we get stuck in Universal forever, but then we also got to go on the road. And then when we got on the road, it was a whole nother story.
We go on the road, baby. That's where Mike Knox shines, daddy.
I want to ask you about that, though, because there's been a few different programs in the many years that I've gone through and been just in studio places like Orlando. What was that like? Like, how'd you guys just keep from going insane just being on lot all day?
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Well,
I mean, how much trouble can you get into on those rods?
So we have it pretty fun there. No, man, like, you talk about the business, you know what I mean? You try to make yourself smarter. You try to pick the brains of whoever you can. Eat, you know what I mean? Mess around, go sneak into the park, ride some roller coasters, you know what I mean? Grab a beer, come back, talk to your man. Like, you just try to, if you just sit there all day, you go nuts. You got to do something, you know? You got to. Like, go explore a little bit, you know, see if you can get into some trouble, talk your way out of it.
Yeah. The best is when we found out how to go to, like, the staff cafeteria. And we were like, because they had better food than catering. Way better food than catering.
Yeah. They never even asked us if we were employees.
Yeah. me and Knox is kind of just...
I mean, I'm pretty sure those Universal Studios employees aren't going to look at you guys and be like, I'm going to ask them. I don't think they work here.
I don't know.
Hey, Martha, I'll take two fillets tonight. Thanks.
I don't know if, like, someone from the park hooked us up and they were like, just don't tell nobody, because me and Knox kept that a secret for a long time. Like, because they had ice cream. They had all kinds of stuff.
Wait, how did you two and only you two stumble onto that place? Did someone...
Just walking around.
Puts you where you're supposed to be at the right time.
Yeah.
that was the right time for us.
Yeah, that was pretty cool, man. We got lucky at that.
Hell yeah, man. Bro, we got to go to, like, Europe together. We got to do a lot of stuff. I didn't even have to work when we went to Europe. I stood on the outside of the cage every night. And then just went out and partied.
Yeah, that's when I took off my mask and showed everyone who I was. Oh. Yeah, relieved myself all over Kurt Angle.
So, yeah, and how was that then? Because both of you got to do some work with Angle, who's just a phenomenal dude, man. A few times I've gotten to meet him and just see him work, it's just, dude's just amazing.
Yeah, he ain't afraid to punch you right in the forehead either.
Hey, and those Germans come quick, boy.
Yeah, dude. Shoot, I even tried to get heavy on him. He still chucked my ass.
Dude, that pay-per-view, I took like 7 or 8 of them, and then I took one from the top rope.
From the middle of the top rope, bro. I remember because I was sitting there thinking, I was like, oh, my God. Wes, don't get excited, because if you do, you're going to land right on your damn head. Like,
I was like, no, I was going to backflip out and just look Kurt right in the eyes and said, bitch, you ain't got nothing.
Poke. Okay, you took your mask off against Angle, right?
Yeah, in Europe.
He took my mask off,
and he threw it in the crowd. You were pissed.
I was pissed, man. So I wore that mask for a year, dude. Bleeding it, sweating it. It fucking stunk so bad. Like, I used to play jokes like. My wife's friends would come over and, like, talk about wrestling or whatever, then I'd be like, oh, yeah, put my mask on. And I'd throw the mask on them, and they'd be like, gagging and stuff. So I'm sitting there, I was like, man, I never saved nothing for my career. You know what I mean? Like, I never kept no pictures. I sold all my gear. Like, I don't keep shit. I'm not, like, sentimental like that. At least I wasn't then. I was like, man, I'm going to keep this vest. I'm going to keep this mask. I was like, there's freaking blood all over it. You know what I mean? Like, it was cool. It meant something to me. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm just sitting, I was like, man, all right. Kurt's going to take that thing off tonight, I think. Like, so cool. You know what I mean? So I'm all excited. First thing, bro, he yanks that thing off me, and he throws it right into the crowd. Chucks it 10 rows deep into the crowd.
10 rows deep. That's flying. Like,
yeah, that ain't coming back.
No! As he's, like, throwing German me all over the place.
Oh, no.
Never did get that thing back, bro. Never did.
Whatever
happened, though, probably has, I don't know, cholera or something, because that thing was gross.
I wish I could be, like, next to that fan when they pick it up. Be like, I got his mask! And they put it on and just instantly be like, oh, no.
You're right. The fan, like, one of the fans probably was like, oh, this is perfect.
Oh.
Just like me.
Yeah, my mama loved it.
Like me. Hey, man, I'm a fan. I'm not like...
They took our vests. I was like, well, I'm keeping that vest.
I got mine.
I didn't get mine. They sold mine, and I never got a cut from it.
Oh, no.
I had to get another one made, bro. I had to get another one made, but you know what? It's just not... I know. It looks the same.
That's not the high spot one that we got?
This is the high spot one.
Okay.
They took the original one. You know what I mean? Mm. So we've had a couple of dust ups with these ones on. But those other ones had like 2 years of sweat and freaking like,
oh yeah,
blood. You know what I mean? Like,
yours is the original one, right, Wes?
Such some shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I still have my original one.
Damn.
Yeah.
Garrett awesome. Does too, bro.
Yeah, because you tell you why? Because me and Garrett both purchased. No, we purchased our vest with our own money. So it wasn't technically TNA's property. So they couldn't do it. They couldn't like just take our thing because they didn't pay for it. So they couldn't.
Well, I wish I'd have thought of that. Of course, they weren't paying me enough at the time that I could even put a bid on it.
Dude, I just went to a flea market and got mine. It was all good.
Oh, bro. You know what, though? I tracked down that dude that bought it.
No way.
Hey, really?
He's like, I got your best, man. I was like, bullshit. He's like, no, I bought it. He sent me pictures of it and stuff. I was like, if I send you a used singlet from Japan, would you send me that thing back?
Autographed.
Yeah, he's like, oh, no, man, I really like it, blah, blah, blah. Like, and he was, like, telling me, like, how much the Aces and Eights meant to him. And I was like, oh, man, could you just give it to me then?
Right, exactly. I'll never understand
I'll
that as a fan.
You. Okay, I'll buy it from you, bro. I was like, what'd you pay for it? And then, like, he told me some number. I was like, ooh, shit, I don't pay that. Like, oh, my mom wouldn't even pay that for it. Oh, maybe half of that. I'll pay half of it. Like, oh, I was trying to bargain with him.
See, I'll never understand that. Like, WWE recently, in the last year, made a show off of that where they go to collectors' houses, basically try to get, like, the original artifacts, and they, like, bargain to. And it's like, and that's my thing. It's like, if I had something like that and you came to me saying, can I have my vest back? It's like, yeah. Yeah, because this was yours, and I loved it because you know, all that. Like,
yeah, but the
this
guy
is a cooler story.
For it.
I get that, but, like, hey. If they're willing to pay that much to get your vest, wouldn't they be willing to pay more to meet you? So now you're meeting them?
Go to lunch with Mike Knox.
Go to lunch with Mike Knox. Watch him go golfing.
Hey, man, that'd be perfect for me. I'll go golfing with you right now. Let's do it.
I went and played. I went and played yesterday. It was about 50 degrees. I was freezing my balls off. You know what I mean? I shot an 81, you know? And it could have been first.
Dude, Knox is a killer at the golf.
Okay, so I this whole year, man, this like since March, I made it a goal to just get better at golf, break 100 for the first time ever, which I did 3 weeks ago. Finally, I shot a 98.
Huge step, bro.
And yeah, man. So I think I shot a 109 on Saturday. Last week, though, I was playing. It was like 39, 40 degrees out, windier than shit. But I'm in Minnesota, man, so, like, the fact that I'm playing in November right now is just, I'm happy.
Well, I thought you were smart at first, but no.
No, not at all. Not at all. I was brought here and never got to leave.
Yeah, that's why I'm down here. That's why I'm in Florida, baby. You can golf all year round down here.
Nice. I have a trip is due to see Wes here pretty quick, so that's going to happen as well. So I'll be down there hopefully soon. But, yeah, great. Man. Golf. I get on the YouTube like golf just holes now too. Where I'll watch 5-6 hours of just YouTube videos on golf now.
Didn't you just do a golfing tournament not too long ago, Knox?
I did, bro.
Out of state, right? It was in Iowa or somewhere.
Yeah, it was a charity tournament for there was a bunch of different sections of it, you know, but it's all for the veterans, you know what I mean? Like Special Forces, Warrior Foundation.
Oh, was that like Tee It Up for the Troops? Was that? I'll cut you out last week.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, very cool. Stuff like that.
Nice. Where in Des Moines was that at?
It was not in Des Moines. It was in
Iowa.
It was in Ohio.
Ohio, okay.
It was in Canton, right by the Hall of Fame.
Very cool.
Yeah, very, very cool, man. We raised $250,000 this year for the cause.
Awesome.
And they, you know, these guys that I've been lucky enough to fall in with, you know, they open my eyes to a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? Troops go through a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? You get sent out there, you come back, you know, you're not always the same guy. You know, a lot of the, you know, shit happens. You know, yeah, like sometimes they don't like asking for help, and they really do need it.
Yeah, so, my old man's retired naval.
Need to try to raise money, brother, for these guys. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Something else.
Yeah, my dad's retired Navy, so I've done a lot with him in the DAV, and he does that tee it up for troops tournament here in Minnesota all the time. I haven't gotten to play it yet though. This year, I didn't know about it until late.
Very, very cool. Yeah, very
cool. Dude, that's awesome. Well, someday maybe we'll get on the course together, Mike.
Hell yeah, man! I'd love that.
I would
like to see that.
Four pack though, at least.
I'm down.
Yeah, I would golf a little bit.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
Enjoying nature, swinging around.
There's nothing better.
I'm not very good at golf though.
That's all right.
That's the only thing.
Yeah. You don't have to be. That's the beautiful thing about golf.
Yeah. Yeah. It pisses you off no matter how good you are.
Yeah, right. One shot though, it's a good day.
But how do all those old guys get so good at it?
Well, they've been playing it for a long time. A lot of them. You know?
The practice they put in is you guys look at the pro guys. I mean, yeah, I could be good if I was hitting the ball 5 hours a day and then tournaments every week.
Dude, my back hurts so bad after one round.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
How the hell do they like that all the time?
Oh, dude, I'm popping three Tylenol right before I tee off just because I'm like, this is going to – I need this halfway through. Yeah, it's insane, man. It's insane.
Hell yeah.
But it's funny that we say this, but then, I mean, you two made a living out of just throwing your bodies on the line.
Yep.
Yeah, and the funniest thing is, you could Knox would probably say the same thing. We beat a lot of people up, but we didn't win that many matches.
Yeah, they didn't pay to see us win. You know what I mean? They paid to see the other guy be victorious. They just, you know, we came to do a little shock and awe, you know?
Oh, that was funny.
So do you guys Mike, do you have a favorite moment when you look back at all of it from Aces and Eights? Like, what was that big favorite moment you remember?
Bro, it was when we were in the cage and Bully just turned on Hulk and they did all that stuff. And I can't remember if it was San Antonio or Phoenix. And they started throwing all the trash at us. When Bully was yelling at Brooke, and like how he tricked her, all this stuff, like whatever, and like all these people, like the genuine hate in that arena, you know what I mean, was really, 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 really cool. And the close second was when we did the that 5-on-5 match, and I had Sting gave me the Death Valley drop or whatever, and then we went up and he gave me another one, bang. And then I looked up and Eric Young was on the top of the cage, like he was ready to come off the top of the cage, and it was so damn high. I was like, oh, baby, we go. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty cool, like, surreal stuff that if I was a kid, like, watching on TV, like, I would love to see that. You know what I mean? Like,
right. That was Lethal Lockdown, right?
If I'm correct. So.
Yeah, so, well. We, during our time, the Aces and Eights, we had probably some of the highest ratings ever. And it's crazy because I don't know if you talked to him, but there's a guy doing a book about TNA and about everything. So it should be pretty cool and he has all the ratings and how we did and how TNA did in the past. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'd be curious, bro. Because I know when we first kind of went out there and it was hot. I know the ratings popped pretty good. I mean, for Impact, you know what I mean? Like, they popped pretty good for Impact. I'd be very curious to see, like, at the end when they were kind of dragging us around a little bit and, like, everything was starting to fade off and they were kind of starting to go another way. I'd be curious to see what the ratings were compared to when we were at the peak, you know?
So, I wasn't there. What happened on your final, like, thing?
I can't even remember, bro. I think I had a match with Ken because it was right before him and Bully had their big blow off.
Uh huh.
So I think I had the match with Ken, and he like gave me a pile driver on the floor, and then that was it for me. Because I remember, like, you know what I mean? Because then they went out and they had their match. Yeah. And I went home and sat there thinking I was going to be a Duck Dynasty character that they told me I was going to be when I left. You know what I mean? And then, like, sat home for 9 months not making any money. I was so freaking mad. I was like, guys, You said I was coming back. What
That's crazy. You sat home for 9 months before they called you back up there?
Yeah. Because they're like, oh, they have this Duck Dynasty character or whatever. And then, like, I was like, bro, when are we doing this? I was like, I'm under contract with you guys. I was like, I work for appearance for crying out loud. You know what I mean? I was like, get me out of here. Like, I need to make some money, brother. So I was like, send me to Japan. Send me somewhere. You got to know somebody, guys. You're TNA for crying out loud. So they started sending me over to Japan. You know what I mean? And then they hit me with that Menagerie gimmick. You know what I mean? Which by the time they hit me with that, I'd been home for so long. I'm just like, they could have told me to do anything, bro. And I'd have done it. Anything. Yeah, bro. I was, that was my last thing for the Aces of H, you know what I mean? But I cut like a couple little promos on Bully at the end. Like just like saying like a couple words. So they got that idea in their head that they were going to try to change me into a baby face, a big white meat baby face. You know what I mean? Like super holy. I don't know, man. Whatever, bro. It's not my job to tell them what to do. You know what I mean? It's my job to try to do it. You know?
Yeah, it was kind of a. I wish it would have been a better ending to the whole Aces and Eights thing, other than just a Bully Anderson match that Bully lost, and then y'all just had to disband. Yeah. I wish there would have been a cooler ending to it.
I can't even remember if that match was on a pay per view, bro. It might have just been on TV because I mean, towards the end of it, I'm having a hard time remembering like a lot of the specifics. You know what I mean? After being so passionate, like 10 months earlier to there where you're kind of just like, all right, well, you know, what are we going to do today? I guess like, what are they going to try to do to us today? You know, what are we, well, you know, like, I know it's like this guy, I don't like this storyline no more. You know what I mean? Like, cause Bischoff was in there and then he was out of there, you know, and then some big comes in and he don't like that one. So he wants to, you know, so they kind of move away from that a little bit and, you know, it sucks, but it's kind of, I hate to say it, but it's kind of like in the locker room, that's kind of like what TNA's known for. You know what I mean? Like they'll go real heavy with an angle and then the riders will change or the top guy will change. And then the next guy comes in and that's not his idea. So they'll end up kind of just scrapping 6 months worth of work. I mean, at least back then, now it's completely different. You know what I mean? I'm sure, you know, with Scott D'Amore there.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean, back when we were there, that's what we know. Like, as soon as a rider changes, whatever you got going on, brother, you just better be loose because they're going to pull it back. It's not their idea. They're going to go with something else. And they'll scrap millions of dollars that they've used in airtime and, like, storyline time and just, like, all that stuff. And they'll, two weeks gone.
It's insane. What was your guys' like travel? Did you guys have like a similar house show schedule when you said you were on the road? Like, were you guys hitting multiple cities on weekends and stuff? I know they did house shows, TNA, because I went to one here in my hometown.
We were still doing a few house shows like at the beginning, and then after they started switching around, like, because remember that was right when they were switching networks too, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was like went to like Destination America, and then it went to
that's
like,
right.
Pop, and then it went to like something else, and like, you know what I mean? So it was, you know, they stopped doing a lot of the house shows.
Yeah.
So we would concentrate almost strictly on TVs. But me and Wes live like 5 minutes from each other in Tampa. So, you know, either I go grab him or he come grab us. We take a 2-hour road trip. You know what I mean? Do that.
Oh, yeah.
So even on the road, we were still roading. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And like I said at the beginning, they were sending us all over the place because that was Bruce's thing. He's like, we got to get on the road. We got to get the people in here and like different cities. Like, we got to get them interested in the program again. And that ended up spending so much money. It ended up kind of biting us in the ass in the end, like, because that's when all of a sudden the boys weren't getting paid quite on time. And then, like, then there was the is are we even going to be around in a few weeks? Like, who knows? Like, we were talking about shit. These guys, they might shut the doors, man. Like, we went trying to show up.
There was a time when
we can't get on the thing. Like,
yeah, we didn't get paid for like 4 weeks at one time.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And they said that the check was in the mail and all that stuff. And then when the check got to your house, you could see the date that they sent the check out, and it was like the day of.
You're like, yeah, one day earlier. Like, they've just been lying to you the whole time about the check.
Right.
It didn't come from them. You know what I mean? It came from the – what was it? The Panda Energy or something like that. It was something from there.
Yeah the Panda.
Bob Ryder, you know what I mean? Like, he was always nice to me, so I feel horrible about this. You know what I mean? But, like, when my checks were late, he was the only one I knew to call to complain about things. So I would call him like three times a week, bitch out about my check.
I can't get my truck out of the airport.
Can't get my truck out of the airport, bro. And he's like, all right, I'll give you this number. And like, and it was like some poor lady in Dallas that had no idea how to deal with personalities.
June.
So now I'm calling this poor lady that's sitting at the desk, and I'm yelling at her about my damn check.
Man,
I'm not used to that. Like, back when, you know, like, if you're working on the indies and all of a sudden, like, some guy ain't trying to pay you, you shake him down, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you'll get it somehow. You know, you can.
Yeah, right. You remember that one time you tried that?
And I'm taking, I've taken like belts from indie guys, like promoters.
And then they called to you and wanted it back.
We'll send them right back to you, bro, as soon as you pay me. You know what I mean? Like, so sometimes they pay you and sometimes they don't, you know? I want to say I still got that. Hold on.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, baby. There it is.
And then, you know what? If you want it back, brother, you know who you are.
Oh.
Send that $750 my way, cowboy. Plus postage.
Yeah,
that's great.
Plus potions.
I've taken the bottom rope off the ring. Say, you know, you can run another show until you pay me. Like, if you got enough money to run a show, you got enough money to pay me.
Right.
We threw that one guy in the shower. We're going to physically kind of threaten him a little bit. We weren't going to do nothing, but, you know, we're trying to scare him. I know we had that money.
Yeah,
hey, it's a doggy dog world out there when you're on the road.
Magically,
like
all of a sudden,
it disappears.
Yeah, all of a sudden, magically, Drew got paid.
Especially when it's like, hey, there were people here. We know people bought tickets. Like, are you trying to say no one is here?
Yeah,
there was a crowd. Yeah.
If you're gonna run a show, you shouldn't be counting on the gate to pay the boys. No. You know what I mean? If you're gonna nut up and run a show as a promoter, you better have money to pay those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have an agreement saying, hey, you work off 10% of the gate or you work off or whatever, you know what I mean?
I've like, never done that.
Ain't nobody going to do that no more.
Mm-mm.
You know? So if you're going to run a show, you better have enough money to pay the guys. Because some guys are nice about it. You know, they'll say, okay, cool, man, I know you'll pay me. I'll just go ahead and send it to me whenever. Yeah, I used to be like that too, you know, until about 20 guys didn't do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
All
right.
You been in any concerts lately?
Bro, I went to Stapleton the other night.
Oh,
I went to Stapleton the other night. Boy, I tell you what, that was the best concert I've ever been to.
No way.
We went to Zach Brown. We went and saw Fozzy.
That way, yeah.
Dude, he plays at every show. He was at
he's everywhere. They are everywhere.
Yeah, bro, we went and saw Chris. It turned into this huge shit show. Because he was like, I know his driver, right? You know his driver, too, I want to say. You remember Kane? He has, like, I don't know. If he saw him, he'd probably know. Anyway, so he drives Chris around now, you know? So he's like, hey, I told Chris about you. And he's like, he wants to hang out. He's playing in Ybor, and he wants to, like, drink some whiskey after the show. Like, he said he wants you to come on the bus and stuff. I was like, oh, shit, yeah, I'll do that. I haven't seen Chris in a few years. So next thing I know, bro, like, we're up in VIP. Chris was, like, fighting with his old lady, you know, and he's, like, he's rocking out, man. I'm just like, damn, he's killing it. I was like, damn, I think he might be lip-syncing. He was that good, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't missing a beat. Like, all of a sudden, like, some lady, like, spills a drink on me, right? I'm just like, what the fuck? And, like, no apology, you know, nothing. I was like, okay, I don't say nothing. I was like, everybody in here is probably friends with Chris, you know what I mean? Like, so all of a sudden, another one, boom, like, right on my head. I'm just like, what the motherfucker? You know what I mean? So now I get up, I start yelling. It's Chris's wife, of course.
Oh, no.
She's like, you know what I mean? So I calm myself down. I go outside, get right with Jesus. You know what I mean? come back in, we do all this stuff. Now it's after the show, we're going back and we're going to have a few drinks with Chris. So we're running through. I don't even notice, bro, but I got a train behind me of, like, people that know, like, that I was kind of there with. So we get on the damn bus. I go climb on the bus with Haley. Then all of a sudden, my other buddy gets on there. And then all of a sudden, like, all these other guys try to get on the bus, too. And I'm like, uh-oh. I was like, fuck, guys. Hey, well, this is like the fucking band's bus. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to talk to my friend just for a few minutes. So then all of a sudden, the wife tries to get on the bus. And there ain't no room for the wife. So Chris is on the top step, and she's on the bottom step. And they're, like, screaming at each other. You know? And I'm just like, oh, God damn it. Like, well, it was all about 7 seconds into me sitting under that bus when this all erupted. And he asked me, like, I think he asked me, like, one question before I could even answer it, like, the wife was, like, screaming or whatever. So we sit there, and I'm just like, now he's off the bus. And I looked at everybody. I was like, everybody get the fuck off of this bus, or I'm going to punch you in the nose. You know what I mean? Like, so I shoved everybody I knew off of that thing. Boom, 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 boom. And I just, like, looked at Chris as he was, like, getting so fired up. You know how he gets, man. And so he's yelling. I'm just like, I lean over and give him, like, a little kiss. I was like, all right, brother, it's good to see you. I'll see you on the next one. So, like, we run off, and apparently they were fighting all fucking night. Yeah, that was the last time I saw Chris. That was a nice concert, though. I was talking to everybody. They were like, I was like, he's lip-syncing, ain't he? And they're like, oh, he's lip-syncing. But I've been to 20 shows, and I've never heard him this good before. Like, he usually misses a lot. You know what I mean? Like, but he was – if he was singing, he was on it.
I went on the first two cruises that he did, those Jericho cruises. And man, when you see him on the first night when we're shipping out of the port, compared to the last night that they do their concert, because they do like five shows on the boat.
Right,
voice is just gone, dude. He's just not even trying anymore. Because he just gets wasted all week on the boat.
Oh, he can drink some whiskey. I know that.
Oh, yeah. He has a good time. I totally got busted by his wife, too, because she walked right by me, and I was just staring right at her chest. Like, oh, and then I realized who she was. And I was like, oh, hi.
Whoops.
They're nice. Sorry. Good for you.
Can't help. Can't do a thing with them.
Yeah, right.
So what else has been going on with you, Knox?
Oh, bro, the real estate market's freaking crazy as hell. You know, selling a few houses, doing my thing there. Got a little wrestling stuff coming up. My arm is feeling good. I tore it like a year ago. So me and you, we did a couple little like aces and eights things. Like that was pretty fun. You know what I mean? But I was still hurting then. You know, so I really couldn't do nothing. Like, my arm was stuck like that. So just, like, starting to train again, doing all the rehab, like, starting to feel good. Like, knees are feeling good. Like, watching all these old farts come back. I'm like, what?
Right, right.
I thought there's no way this guy, whatever. So, yeah, bro, fate kind of fell down upon me. And I got a call from NWA. About making some appearances, and took them up on it, man. And it's going to get pretty crazy, man. Pretty cool. I got really, really fun coming up.
Where people can follow you and keep track of you so they know what's going on.
Ooh, Book Mike Knox. I see I'm on Instagram at Noxy_78, I want to say. I have some Facebook pages. Is that what old men have still? I don't know.
Hell yeah.
I don't put a whole lot of stuff on there. I have some ladies that have really, really helped me out. You know, I send them what I want. I was like, oh, shoot, I remember this. Look at this. I remember that. Look at that. But I don't know how to say it. I mean, I tell them exactly what to say, but I don't know how to, like, do hashtags and, like, and they love helping me out, baby. You know me. I'm Mike Knox. Everybody wants to help me out.
Hell yeah.
Like, oh, Mike, help you. Mike, let me help you. Please, Mike. Yeah, all right. You can help me.
Okay.
I guess.
All right. Well, Ace, is there anything you want to ask before we wrap it up?
No, we're good. You did mention that you were doing some stuff with some like veterans and military member charities. Is there anything you're working with exclusively that you want to shout out?
You know what? Nothing exclusively.
Okay.
But the Special Operations Warrior Foundation is one of our main outlets. it's great. What they do is, you know, they take donations. You know, we run do the golf tournaments, and, you know, we sell a lot of really, really cool packages, and we do auctions. And like I said, this year we raised $250,000 in a weekend for the cause. You know, we try to take care of the special operators that are falling overseas, their children. They never have to worry about a college, whether they want to go to a beauty school or they want to go to Harvard. It's everything's covered 100%. Give them a chance to where, you know, they can start a life without being in, you know, crippled in debt, you know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, they do a lot of good things, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I'll have to come down for the next tournament.
Look them up, man. There's so many really, it makes you feel good, man. Cause you get to meet these incredible, like, Navy SEALs and Green Berets and, like, you know, recon guys, and you get to hear their stories and their life and, like, what they've been going through, like, since, like, when they were over there to when they were back, you know, like, snipers and guys that have stories that just, I mean, I like to say we're crazy, you know what I mean? Me and Wes, you know, we're pretty fun, outgoing people, you know what I mean? But the stories that these guys have are bar none, like, it's insanity. You know, it would shape people's entire lives and future, you know, just that one day. And they did it day after day after day after day. It's just, I got a special spot in my heart, man. You know what I mean? I love the troops.
That's awesome. Yeah, so definitely support those. We'll throw links up on our social media when the episode comes out, when it drops, which it has, because you're listening to it right now on the VOC Nation. Wes, what do you have? You got any shows coming up?
I got two shows coming up in December for Atomic, and other than that, that's about it.
Yeah, so and this will air during the week going into Full Gear, which is probably going on currently as this comes out. So everybody enjoy your Full Gear weekend. I'll be up there if you're in the Minneapolis area. For those, find me. I will be around. I'll also be at the first wrestling show at First Avenue Sunday night, which is going to be a real, real fun show. And every Tuesday night on Twitch, the Two Count Twitch channel. Check us out. Me, comedian John Russell, comedian Tommy Chilstrom. Talk some good old wrestling. Jason Prentice this week from IPW and USA Wrestling in Nashville or Tennessee. And then film star Jordan Max will be on the show next week. You can look up to find out more about her. That'll be a fun show as well. So check us all out there. VOC Nation, you can find the podcast and the video version on their YouTube channel. So check them out. VOC Nation, Briscoe, Big A Show. Mike, a true pleasure to finally meet you because I've heard so much about you. And obviously I've seen a ton of your work before that. So it's just cool to actually shoot the shit with you and hear some cool stories with you and Wes. It's always a pleasure for me. So
pleasure's all mine, bro. Thank you.
Perfect. Guys, yeah, we appreciate it. And everybody, make sure you follow us, Briscoe Big A Show. All the social medias, they're out there. We're on there. Like us and talk to us on there. Otherwise, we'll see you guys on the next episode.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Briscoe, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and of course, In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. And by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
Hola, this is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.